Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
There's growing pressure on the FAI to boycott the Ireland-Israel game, and a number of leading figures within the League of Ireland, along with the likes of Brian Kerr and Louise Quinn, have joined the campaign calling for the games not to be played. They've also signed an open letter calling on the FAI to refuse to play Israel in the Nations League later this year as well. Former League of Ireland manager Roddy Collins spoke to Anton about this earlier.
I'm a football person. I have an opportunity to highlight what the Israelis done in Palestine and they're working their way up now into Lebanon. And I want to highlight that through my sport. And I think a gesture of not participating in a game against the national team of a country who, in my opinion, have participated in genocide is a small gesture that may highlight to other people to wake up and realise what Israel have done. All right. And hopefully, sorry Anton, prevent another country doing what Israel have done.
So that's Roddy Collins speaking to Anton here on Breakfast a little earlier this morning. Daniel Lambert from the Irish Sport for Palestine and Bohemians Football Club Chief Commercial Officer is with us here first on the programme today. 1800 453 106 is the number. Daniel, you're part of the Stop the Game campaign, which has been launched. There's a new petition that's out as well. Can you tell us how many people have signed that, first of all?
It's not a public petition. The initial stage was to gain names inside and outside the game in terms of notable people. And look, there's a really important
sports
and impressive group of
basically.
People there. Yeah, no, it's not just sports. There's other notable people from music and culture. But we look at the list and the statement from Roberto Lopez, who's the chair of the Professional Football Association of Ireland, I think is an extremely strong statement. And, Roberto is a player who's going to go and play in the World Cup. And, has played an unbelievably high level in terms of his role at Shamrock Rovers. There's also a number of other League of Ireland, really high-profile League of Ireland players. Dawson Devoy from our own club, Bohemians, Paj Almond, a number of others there. And then, as you mentioned, Brian Kerr and others. But it's a really simple issue. And, there's not a lot of subjectivity here, actually. Israel shouldn't participate in the UEFA competition. And Ireland should not play them. And I think that we require a kind of a confidence here that we're doing the right thing, not only morally, but under the UEFA rule book. And I think that it's really important that Ireland does the right thing, and this will be proven to be the right thing. And it's important that the FAI have the strength to do that.
But haven't the FAI confirmed, that they will be fulfilling both of the games after they took legal advice in relation to this and looking at, I suppose, the kind of, I think they described it as the constitutional obligations as well?
Yeah, the constitution, well, I haven't seen the legal advice, I don't think it was published, and also the constitution, the FAI can be changed by the FAI's membership. The FAI is a member organisation. So in November of last year, Bohemians brought a motion to the FAI's General Assembly. There's 150 voting members of that assembly, and 93% voted in favour of instructing the FAI to request the expulsion. I've rarely seen a vote that high. You don't see it in any forum, but in terms of, in the football family, in inverted commas. But like just some simple facts here, right? And I'll keep it brief. UEFA is in objective breach of two UEFA statutes. The most important of the two being that they have six teams playing on occupied lands. That's not my opinion. That's a fact under international law. These teams play on lands that do not belong to Israel. And those teams enforce a system of apartheid. That system of apartheid, again, that's not my opinion. That's the view of the Irish government, that Israel practices apartheid. That's number one. The second thing, and it's on the moral side, 566 footballers have been killed. Try to imagine what 566 footballers looks like. And for me, if I saw every team in the League of Ireland men's Premier Division lineup, every women's team lineup, every First Division team lineup, and every Premier League football team lineup, that's less than 566 players. They are dead. They've been murdered.
I know. And even when you put the visual all right like that, Daniel, there's no doubt about it. It captures the mind. I'm curious though, and we're going to talk to some just football fans today, Daniel, on the programme as well, because I want to kind of get a better feel for how people feel about this and will they actually go to the game. We spoke about it when there was the protest outside the FAI HQ. I think that was only back in February is the last time we spoke about this on the programme today. Do you think the games, Daniel, will go ahead?
No, I don't. I don't. And I think, like, when we think, I suppose, as, like, the boycott of South Africa, nobody looks back on that and says that was the wrong thing to do. It was part of the deconstruction of a system of apartheid, and it played an important role, and Ireland was a leader. And I think a lot of Irish people are proud of that. And what's really interesting is if you look, go back over that period and look at what some of the ministers of the day said, Fine Gael ministers, they said it wouldn't have an impact. It would damage Ireland. All of the same arguments we hear today were rolled out then. And just two things, and I think these are important, if you give me a second to say them. One of the things that's being said here is that there'll be threats against the FEI. Maybe there will be, and we don't know if that's true or not. And there'll be repercussions, right? But Russia has been banned from UEFA competition, correctly, for its invasion of Ukraine, right? And Russia went to CAS, the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which is the ultimate decision-making body in disputes in sport globally. And there was two decisions given. In the decision that was given by CAS, and it was Russia v. UEFA, there's a line here, and it said, the appealant, which was Russia, suggestion that member associations should be sanctioned for refusing to participate is untenable. Member associations have a right to participate. They do not have an obligation to do so. And the second one, which was Russia against FIFA, said that the decision by several FIFA members, right, that was Poland, Sweden, and the Czech Republic, not to compete against Russia, must be respected. Those decisions are fully understandable and cannot be criticised from a legal or moral point of view.
Okay. So look, there's loads, I suppose, to kind of digest in all of this. And as I said at the very outset today, we want to know whether football fans feel the FAI should boycott the Ireland-Israel game later on this year. Stay with us, Daniel, if you can, for a moment. I want to bring Liam in. Liam is on the line. Liam, do you think the game should go ahead?
100% should go ahead, yes. Of course, sport should have no place in war, politics, or anything else. And I hear what he's saying there, and yeah, it sounds terrible and all that. I'm a Leeds United supporter. I went to a Leeds game where Manor Solomon was playing an Israel guy. No one said he shouldn't play that day. No, he wasn't cheered on. He was cheered on. Like, and I'm not going to get into the political side of thing. Israel have their grievances with Hezbollah and what's going on there and terrorism. There's Israel people being killed. I'm not saying who's right, who's wrong, right, or whatever. But sport is sport. But if you want to go
so
that
you think
far...
You think the two don't marry, Liam?
Just give me a second. Yeah, just give me a second now. That lad there, he's so righteous and Iverton, he says, we'll close Intel in Leixlip and send 5,000, 10,000 workers home. Because the biggest employer in Israel is Intel. Okay?
Okay.
So if the Americans are back in Israel, not be sure of it. So we're back in America by having Intel in Ireland. So if we're going to hit sport, why don't we hit industries?
Okay. And that is a point, and I know there's people already making that, you know, here on WhatsApp as well. Stay with me, Liam, just for a second, because I just want to bring Cameron Hill in from Off the Ball. So it's not the first time we've talked about this.
No.
Has anything changed in relation to the FAI's position?
Not really. So just to give everybody a recap of what actually is at stake here. So Ireland have been drawn in this Nations League group later this year with Kosovo, Austria and Israel in Group B3. So they're due to play Israel away on September 27th. Since 2023, Israel have played their home matches in Budapest, but the FA, their FA, are confident that they can host games on Israeli soil. Then you have Israel due to come to Dublin on Sunday, October 4th. Now, the FAI's CEO, David Carell, said that the FAI had no choice but to fulfil the fixtures and sent a letter to members around that time of the draw saying there would be serious consequences if they forfeited the games, which would materially harm the long-term sporting interests of Irish football.
What are those serious consequences, though? Or look at the financial.
More footballing. So points deduction. So they'd have to forfeit the 6 points that would have been on offer if they'd fulfilled or played those games. Relegation potentially to League C and less favourable seeding in the Euro 2028 qualifiers, of which Ireland is a co-host. Now, there has been allusion to financial and other governance issues and constitutional issues, but those are the ones that have been set out in stone, the footballing ones. And the argument for boycott, as Daniel Lambert has very well explained and outlined in the letter by Stop the Game yesterday, a campaign launched by Irish Sport for Palestine, is that there are serious breaches of UEFA and FIFA statutes regarding Israeli teams playing on occupied Palestinian lands and the brutal regime of genocide, both of which are accepted by the Irish government. And at an FAI AGM, as Daniel also pointed out, 93% of delegates voted in favour of submitting a motion calling for Israel to be banned from European club and international competition. And I just wanted to mention that back in February, the PFA of Ireland released the results of a survey of 214 League of Ireland players. 63% felt the fixture should not be fulfilled, while a separate supporter survey found that nearly 76% of Irish fans opposed the games.
So we've got the majority, as you say, of professional footballers. We've got the supporters in favour of this not happening, in favour of the FAI boycotting the Israel game. Also, Daniel mentioned the previous survey as well, and the 97%. But as it stands today, the 7th of May, it is likely these games are going ahead.
That seems to be the position of the FAI. The government have been asked about it constantly, about whether they should go ahead.
And there's only one league, there's only one leg of the Ireland's two matches that are going to be played in Ireland, isn't it?
Yes.
And we don't know where that venue is yet.
It's good. It's down for the Aviva Stadium.
Okay, so that is, I suppose, one development since the last time we talked about this. So it's likely to be the Aviva Stadium in Dublin. All right. Stay with us, Cameron, as well. I just want to bring Cleone is on the line too. 1800 453 106. Cleone, I don't know, are you a football fan? Would you go to the game?
Well, I'm not a great football fan. Unless Ireland is playing, and since we're out of the World Cup, sadly, my interest has waned. But can I ask, why is Israel in the European Cup? Why are they in the Eurovision? It is just beyond belief. They're bully boys. I've been to Israel. I'm not anti-Israeli people. I'm anti the Zionists and what they are doing there and the appalling treatment of the Palestinians. And I think our government is being lily-livered, as always. They promised to bring in the Occupied Territories Bill, which was introduced by Senator Francis Black 7 years ago. And they are hiding behind legal and constitutional arguments which do not hold.
So should the games go ahead then?
No,
simple as that. Okay. What about you, Kate? Do you think you're, after texting in here today, you're listening to the discussion, I believe you're a lifelong season ticket holder, is that right?
I am, yeah. I've been going since I was about 6 years of age, Lansdowne Road, and lots of foreign matches. I've been at two Euros. I'm a season ticket holder.
You've travelled all over. So I'm interested in your take on this now.
The fans don't want this. Like, the idea that we would play the Israeli team and allow them to sports wash the nation, the damage, the suffering, the slaughter they have perpetrated on the people of Palestine is unconscionable. And by allowing them entry, the Palestinian civil society has for decades called for a boycott culturally, academically, sports and economic. And this is our opportunity. This is the FAI's opportunity to show that we will not allow them to be sports washed. We will not welcome a team who I would imagine a vast majority have been members of the IDF, as most people in Israel have. They have compulsory military service, so a vast number of their team probably have been in the IDF, have been a part of an occupying force.
So we should boycott this game then?
Absolutely, and I would find it very hard to continue to give the FAI the money I pay them every year for my season ticket if they go ahead. The same way I try not to spend my money on any company that is complicit and allows Israel to be complicit in what they're doing.
And I'm curious now, so as it stands today, the matches are going ahead, right? You know, from what the FAI have said, they've said they're going to fulfil both games after taking legal advice. Would you even watch the game?
Oh God, no. And I would like, the same way that I know RTE, the member, there was the journalists and the people involved in RTE are refusing to show the Eurovision. I would want all broadcasters, all workers in organisations that have anything to do with this match. I'd love if they do insist on having the match, I'd love if the people working in the concession stands in the restaurants in the face refused to do it. If the security staff refused to do it. That's what it takes. It takes mass normal people to take the action, to say we're not going to let this happen.
We're not taking part.
And I won't watch it. I'll be standing blocking the street if I have to stop the bus getting in for it to go ahead.
And when you speak to your own friends and family, Kate, I presume, or whoever you go to the game, as we'll say typically with, do they feel as strongly about this as you?
I haven't met one football fan who wants this match to go ahead. And like, right. you know, I'd be down at Shelburne. I go to the Ironman. Like,
you're in the thick
not
of it,
one
yeah.
person, even non-football fans. I don't know even one non-football fan that is happy for this match to go ahead.
No.
You know, and the whole idea of separating politics, that doesn't work. Because this is ongoing and our only power is in the things that we have going on in our daily
and
lives.
And we've had similar
our only power
conversations
is,
at gigs.
As normal
and,
people.
Yeah, as well.
Is to take these steps where we can.
What about, okay, Stephen's on the line. Stephen, you're listening to Kate. You're also a season ticket holder, is that right?
Yeah, I'm a season ticket holder and I travelled to all the way and I was fortunate to get one of the 1,000 tickets in Prague.
Right,
so,
okay.
And I'll not be going to the two Israeli games. I'll attend the venues and I'll stand outside, but I will not go into it.
Oh.
And I think David and the FAI executive need to stand up now and stop what's going on. There's genocide. We see today is the IDF have issued warnings for Lebanon. They're doing the same in the West Bank. And this is not anti-Zionist or anti-Jew. This is anti-Israeli state. And as Irish people,
so despite the legal advice and all of that, you think that the FAI shouldn't fulfil or should?
No. And do you know, Sohan, we would be respected by that by the rest of the UEFA and FIFA members.
If we are taking a stance. Come here, I'm curious. Go back a moment there. So you said you would go to. So there's only one of the two matches that'll be played in Ireland. You'll go to the. If it's at the Aviva Stadium, as it likely will be, you'll go to the Aviva Stadium, but you won't go in.
No, and I'll also go. If the game's in Hungary, I will go to Hungary for the away game, but I won't go in.
And what's the purpose of that?
Because I'm an Ireland supporter and I want to support my team, but I will not support them when we're playing Israel. And
so
I will travel to the away game and I'll be with my friends who we travel away. Some of them will go in, some of them won't go in. But that's their decision.
But are you protesting? And will you have, you know what? You're just
yeah,
standing?
I am protesting.
Yeah,
saying,
okay.
Yeah. I'm willing. And, you know, people got to understand that don't have season tickets who are traveling. I will lose points for not scanning my tickets. Because we get points, 2 points for a home game and 1 point for an away game. And then that goes to future allocation of tickets for future games. And I will lose 3 points over this and I'm prepared to do it because it's insignificant what's happened in the 50,000 lives that have been lost in Palestine. And people have got to understand that 50,000 people standing outside a stadium is what Israel has done to the Palestinian state, never mind what they're now doing in Lebanon and never mind what they've done in the West Bank.
So it's kind of, I suppose, would you call it other forms of protest? Is that maybe something
absolutely.
That fans could look at?
But the FAI came out too soon. They didn't need to come out 3 months ago when the draw was made and said, we're going to play it.
They probably didn't, because questions would have been asked.
No, they would have just said, well, we'll deal with it in the future. You know, we'll not deal with it now. They actually announced it before they got the supporter survey back. A supporter survey was sent out. We all completed it. Over 70% of us said we don't want the game to happen. And before that survey was published, the FAI turned around and said, we're going to play the game. So why even ask us for our opinion if they already had made their decision? They didn't need to do this. I know David. I go to all the women's game, all the away games. I see him. I respect him as a chief executive. Mm. But sorry, he scored an own goal on this.
You think it was just or whoever was behind the survey? And is like Cameron Hill, just from a sports perspective, like was the survey prematurely carried out then?
I don't know, because I suppose if you think back to the draw in February in, I think it was in Belgium, in Brussels, and Hamer Hallgrimsson, the Irish men's head coach, was sort of left to field all of the questions about the draw in the immediate aftermath by himself.
Mm.
Paul Cook and David Carell were at the launch, but had to go, leaving him to sort of answer. And I really don't think that's in the remit of an Ireland men's head coach to answer questions on such a scale and be the sort of spokesperson for the entire FAI. So in the FAI's defence, at least what we're hearing from their position is coming from the top and it's not being left up to the managers and the players. Now, on the flip side, it will probably come down to whether the management and the players want to play themselves in these games. I think when you think back to the situation with the Irish women's basketball team a couple of years ago and the leadership, basically,
I
saying this have to go
to
ahead.
Say, I feel for the players. I think it's a difficult position as a player. You know, you're in a difficult decision. You're probably waiting for your leadership or management to make a call on whether or not the game goes ahead. What do you think? Just maybe Stephen, finally, on this. What do you think's likely to happen?
I actually don't know. I would hope that there'd be a huge momentum now to get behind stopping the game. And, you know, our sponsors need to start reacting. And I think, you know, people just have to get behind a momentum. 50,000 lives lost, children murdered. And it's continuing today with the West Bank. You know, I saw two students mowed down by a car. You know, these lives are important. And, you know,
we need to take a stance.
Well, think about it. The 50,000 people who attend the game against Israel, that's what was lost in Palestine through that genocide. So that's like Israel dropping a bomb in at Lansdowne Road. Think about that, people. You know, 50,000 people being murdered in the Aviva Stadium is the same as what happened in Palestine.
Let me bring in Ben for a moment. Ben, you've been listening to all of this. Would you go to the game?
Absolutely not, no. Like, I'm sitting in Daly Mount Park at the moment. I walked in this morning and walked past the mural of Hind Rajab, a young Palestinian girl who was shot hundreds of times by the IDF. And I think to say that it's a political issue that we shouldn't get involved in politics is just ridiculous. Like, it's completely not political. It's a humanitarian thing. Like, these people are being, and have for years, been forced out of their homes and are now being bombed and shot. And I think for us to play against the state that engages in that is just...
So whatever the repercussions for the FAI, in whatever form they take, you think we should boycott these two matches, Ben?
Well, I think, like, if you look at things in the bigger picture, like, repercussions for the FAI are a very small impact in terms of, like... Like, there's people being killed here.
Oh, no, I know. I'm not making light of it, but...
50,000 people killed, and we're here talking about repercussions for the FAI. Like, I think... I just don't see how you can compare those things.
Okay, it's a fair point. Enormous reaction from listeners today to this, right? And just to give you a flavour of what some of the texters are saying, absolutely nobody wants this match to go ahead. Another listener tells me the match should go ahead and people need to suck it up, says this listener. This listener is a season ticket holder with Galway United, and when Ireland was drawn to play against Israel, I was delighted. It offers us a huge opportunity to be on the right side of history and to do the right thing. It's a humanitarian issue. It's nothing to do with politics. And I think people need to cop on. People are being slaughtered, says this texter. Another listener says, let's say I want to go to the Aviva and watch the match as a game. Will it be safe to bring my teenage child to do so? Can I be guaranteed of that? Asks this listener. Another texter says, as an avid football fan and season ticket holder, I'm not going to travel. Israel should not be in the competition. If we have to play it, it should be played behind closed doors at a neutral venue, as was done by Belgium in the Nations League. And it was based as well for the safety of teams, etc. too. Maybe just on a final point, I mean, Cameron Hill, just, you know, there's so many more people we could talk about this for days, but the FAI at the moment, the game's going ahead, and is there likely, are we expecting there to be any change of heart in this?
It just depends on whether there's enough of a groundswell, I suppose, of support, or if there's a change in how the players feel, or if there's another movement from the Professional Football Association of Ireland that will change their opinion. At the moment, they seem pretty dug in on this, and that these games will go ahead, and that they are planning to fulfil both the away match and the game at the Aviva on October 4th. But it's very hard to say. You know, we're 4 months out from it at this stage, 5 months in fact. Anything could happen.
Listen, we'll leave it there for the moment. Cameron Hill, to all of the listeners who got in touch, Stephen, Kate, Daniel Lambert, Liam, Cleona, Ben, the list goes on. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.